أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، كل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness for me and for you and for all the Muslims. I believe in him and I trust him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, there is no one Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. It's not going to be easy for me this time, like it's never been easy for certain reasons. Number one, that like I'm trying to may call it warming up after period of almost 2 months now. So we finish Ramadan, and this is another 2 weeks after Ramadan. So you know, like a stagnant water or like a motor being cold, and you try to crank it in the morning and you try to take off, it's not that easy. So this is one thing which makes me little bit hesitant. The second thing is the subject itself, which some of you think is very simple and easy. And Brother Abdul Ahad was about even to take the class over. Where is he? And he, when I came in, he was sitting in my chair, and I said, maybe Allah had answered my prayer, somebody going to give the class instead of me. But I think he got scared and he ran away. And also for me to try to present this subject to you, believe it or not, all these boxes that you see it in the table, all these boxes that you see it sitting in front of me, is to try to give you the best of all the best if I can, only by the will of Allah, and after this, maybe inshallah with your prayer, that Allah will enable me. I have in front of me here approximately about 12 books. None of them in English, except one, okay? And this basically going to be, and I brought the book here, so you can know what subject we're going to be utilizing. And for those people who would like to have a reference or to follow up with me, they can know which book that we're using. This book is in Arabic and English called Bulugh al-Maram. The book of Bulugh al-Maram min adillat al-ahkam, min adillat al-ahkam. This is the attainment of the objects or objectives of objectives according to the evidence of ordinance. Bulugh is to reach or to achieve. Okay, al-maram is like a goal or a target, so that we try, or the author of the book, okay, which is al-hafiz, al-imam al-hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, he tried to reach a goal, okay, to reach the goal. This is the bulugh, and he said to the child, when reach he or she reaches certain age, he says this sin al-bulugh, okay, sin al-taklif. He attain or reach the age of bulugh, that mean he attains the age of puberty, that mean he is reach age which he is responsible before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what he doing. This is called bulugh, to reach. Okay, so they said the child, when each reach a certain age, like 13, 14, whatever this age, now he's baligh or she's baligh, okay? They obtain this age. Now they're responsible about their action, okay? And everything became obligatory in them. Al-maram, okay, something that you try, like a goal, that you set a goal, you try to achieve it. من أدلة الأحكام, من is from أدلة, proofs and evidence, الأحكام, the ordinance of Allah or the commands and the ruling, okay? So that means how you can reach it, your goal, through obtaining this evidence. And this book, as I said, Bulugh al-Maram, is by Imam Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and this book been explained in Arabic by a book called Subul al-Salam. This is one of the books that they used to teach me in the Haram. And believe it or not, you see only the cover, barely can see some of the title, because this book I've been having it now since, alhamdulillah, at least 30 years. So this is printed in 1960, okay? When 19 what? How many years is this? 30. Okay, I have this book at least for 25 to 30 years. And this is one of the books they used to teach me in the Haram. And this is Subul al-Salam. Okay, Subul Jam' or a plural of Sabil. Salam, which is peace. Okay, Subul, the ways and the roads. Okay, the peaceful or the secure roads, okay, or the safety roads. And this book supposed to be Subul al-Salam Sharh Bulugh al-Maram. This is a book which explains this book, Bulugh al-Maram, min jam' adillat al-ahkam, the collection of evidence and ordinance. Okay, so this book Bulugh al-Maram is been explained by Subul al-Salam. And the great gift is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed the Muslims in America and those who don't speak Arabic, that this book been translated in English now, okay? And you can get this book, I think, for about, anybody remember? About at least maybe something about $20. And maybe Brother Abdul Ahad, what's his name? Abdul Bari, selling this book. But in addition to this, this is the book basically that you need to bring with you when you come to the class, if you want to know what I'm talking about, which will be part of what I'm teaching is from this. But in addition to this, I'm going to use also Fiqh al-Sunnah. Okay? Fiqh al-Sunnah by Sayyid Sabiq, Rahmatullah alayh. And this book I had translated but never been published. The first time we translate this, or ever been translated in the United States. When I used to teach it in Masjid al-Muslimin in Atlantic Avenue 335, when Brother Habib and Sister Zainab here used to be some of my students, and this is one of the books that we taught out of it about 22 years ago approximately. So, and this book is in English, okay? I brought my copy with me, but I left it in the car. So this is one of the things that we're going to be using beside Bulugh al-Maram, okay? But in the meantime, I got Irwa al-Ghalil, and this is something very important, which by Sheikh al-Albani, Jazallah khairan, and this only for purpose of making takhrij, to authenticate the hadith that we're going to be using in Bulugh al-Maram. And also, I brought Tamam al-Minna, and Tamam al-Minna also by Sayyid Sabiq, by Sheikh Sayyid Sabiq. And basically, this hadith is ta'liq, or a footnote on Fiqh al-Sunnah, okay, to show some error that been done in Fiqh al-Sunnah, and some ahadith to show the authenticity of this ahadith. So this is two books only to help us, to assist us about getting to the subject. In the meantime, I have Fiqh al-Islam, okay, Sharh Bulugh al-Maram. This is another book to explain Bulugh al-Maram. And this by Abdul Qadir Shibat al-Hamad. He used to teach in Medina. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Allah knows best. Okay. And also I have Rawd al-Nadiyya, Sharh al-Dur al-Bahiyya, and which is a fiqh book to help us. And I have another book here, which Mujma' Fiqh al-Salaf by Muhammad al-Muntasir al-Kittani. He used to teach on Umm al-Qura. Also, I think he's from Morocco. I remember this man. Yarhamukullah. And this also to tell us, as well as Kitab al-Ijma', okay, lil-Hafiz al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir, and another al-Ijma' also. And this book to tell us about what is the Sahaba had agreed about, Jazakallah khairan, to be something like Ijma', consensus of their opinion. This, the book, Bulugh al-Maram, min Adillat al-Ahkam in Arabic, and I brought also Kitab al-Awsat, في السنن والإجماع والاختلاف to help me also about. And I have a note here which is جدول الجامعة or الجداول الجامعة في العلوم النافعة by جاسم محمد محلها الياسين. And this also to help us a little bit about the subject that we're studying. And I don't know what else I got, but this one book which Fiqh al-Ibadat, for those people who apply for the opening university in Washington, this is what they teach for to get what you call it, AB degree or something like this. Alright, and this also to help us to assist. And in actuality, this is maybe explain to you why I'm a little bit nervous or confused, because I have to try to manage among all these books while I'm giving you the class. I have another book here, which is المجموعة الجليلة تحتوي على مختصر الكلام على بلوغ المرام. Okay, another summary about بلوغ المرام. And I have another fiqh book, which is نيل المآرب في تهذيب شرح عمدة المطالب. Okay, and this also. So I'm trying to get all the things and give you the summary of all the things and try to give you the best that I can. Now, if I can do this or not, Allah knows best. The only thing that I try, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for any mistakes that I would do unintentionally, and which is not my intention to confuse you or to make it difficult or anything for you, but you have to know that it's not an easy job, Abdul Ahad, as well as everybody. And inshallah, I'm telling you this long introduction, which give you headache, I know, that maybe that somebody will feel sorry for me, and make dua for me, inshallah, that Allah can make it easy me. And after making a short story long, now we'll try to make a long story short, what we will try to talk about today. We're going to be talking today, inshallah, or tonight, about Kitab al-Tahara, okay? And under Kitab al-Tahara will come Bab al-Miyah, Bab al-Aniya, Bab Izalat al-Najasa, باب الوضوء باب المسح على الخفين باب نواقض الوضوء باب أداب قضاء الحاجة باب الغسل وحكم الجنب باب التيمم باب الحيض. So our book, okay, is the كتاب الطهارة, okay, and under the book of طهارة, I'll explain to you what it is. It comes about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 10 chapters, okay. So our main book that we're studying is Kitab al-Tahara. After Kitab al-Tahara comes the Kitab al-Salah. And after Kitab al-Salah will come Kitab al-Zakah. Or after Kitab al-Salah will come Kitab al-Janaiz, funeral. And after this comes the Kitab al-Zakah, obligatory charity. Kitab al-Siyam, fasting, Kitab al-Hajj, and you keep going. And under each Kitab, you found Bab. Kitab, this is the first word that we're dealing with, Kitab al-Tahara. And I'm letting you know from today, and I know some of you will be taking a nap while I'm talking, because this is not going to be that excitement like the other classes, okay? This is mostly like academic classes, if I'm using the right term, okay? Similar to some of Ghassan's classes, okay? I don't know how many of you sleep during his classes. And we pray that Allah give him a safe trip and that he already enjoyed being with his family and that he achieve what he went for, inshallah, and get the best and come back, Harry. So, is this what you call academic classes more than... fun class, that information, and sometimes you'll be taking a nap, you woke up, you found me still talking about Tahara, alright? And this is part of Jihad. Jihad is not only taking a gun and going shooting, okay? Jihad is have a different forms, and one of the forms of Jihad, that you make a Jihad against yourself to have endurance, or to have to tie yourself down to the ground, that you try to have sabr and have patience, that to listen and to try to understand, adjust what you, okay, and adjustment or adjust what, no, I digest, Abdullah, Jazakallah khair, and to try to digest what you're listening, all these things is going to be a Jihad for you, okay. For number one, you try to sit yourself, listen to all this broken English, this is number two. Number three, try to understand what he's talking about. Number five, that try to digest what he's saying, okay? All these things is not be easy, going to be an easy job, alright? So this is part of the Jihad. But let me tell you something to juice it up a little bit, or butter it up a little bit, okay? Don't start to sleep now. It's not that I'm saying this, I'm giving you permission to sleep, I'm only... That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying what the meaning is, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِي خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. That whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for him, he will give him the understanding in the religion. Okay? So understanding in the religion, to understand how to act, and what is the ruling, what is halal, what is haram, what's permissible, what can be done, what could not be done, okay? Is it haram? Is it makruh? All these things. If Allah gives you this understanding, this is a sign of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, okay? So we have to struggle, okay, to get this knowledge. To get this knowledge. And if we get it, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends something good for us, okay? Kitab al-Tahara. This is the book that we're going to be talking about. And the Kitab or Kutub, because it is a collection of something, okay? When you say, when people كتب كتبت فتكتبت ذات مين اجتمعت ذات مين got together. So we say كتاب الطهارة because the book is supposed to be something which collect others. Okay, so when you say that كتاب, that mean is something which collect or bring things together. So we're talking about a collection, all right? Different subject coming together under a title, and that the book has chapters. Okay, the book has chapters, and each chapter it has sections. Okay, and all the things to give you details and make things more easier in you, that this comes under this, this subject comes under this subject, and this subject comes under this book, and this book comes under this. Okay, so this is the way how we can relate things to each other. Okay, like he says, so and so, son of so and so, son of son, so and so, from the tribe of such and such, all these things to make more easier on you to recognize things. What book we studying? The book of At-Tahara. Okay, the book of At-Tahara. And the Tahara is masdar from Tahara Yathur Badam Ilha. Okay, that you have to put Dhamma on the Ha, so you can have Tahur. Okay, or At-Tahur. And this means sometimes also you can say it was Fatha, and At-Tahara means An-Nazafa, means cleanliness, means purifications, means staying away from impurity, means staying away from things that you're supposed to stay away from it, that will disturb your cleanliness. Anybody got anything yet? So we're talking about the book of purification, the book of At-Tahara, purity, purification, cleanliness, staying away from filthy and dirty and impurity things, preparing yourself for certain action and certain form of ibadah by staying away from these things. Okay, let's look here for a second in this book of Jami' al-Maftuha, the Open University, and say that At-Tahara بفتح الطاء, طاء الطاء, طاء فتحة. Okay, and لغةً, linguistic speaking, that token النظافة, cleanliness, والتنزه عن الأدناس, to stay away from things which is impure. Okay, even if physically or mentally. Okay, so the impurity, okay, and the dirty things, there is certain things that physical and certain things, like say bad word. Okay, so this is bad thought. Yeah, dirty word or dirty thoughts, okay, or dirty idea, all these things is not is something physical that you can touch it with your hand. Okay, so when we're talking about cleanliness and talking about Tahara, this chapter dealing with how to clean yourself, and not only clean yourself or how to stay away from the dirty things, regardless if physically speaking or spiritually speaking. Okay, as example, the idols, the sin, defecation, all these things is dirty or impure, but some of it physically, like idols, you can touch it, defecation, you can see it, but other things like sin, sin is something impure, and disbelief is impure, but is not in a sense that you can touch it. Okay? Huh? Mentally. And Islamically speaking, okay, clean oneself from the impure things like physical things, defecation, or urine as example, or حكمية. عليكم السلام. And when you say حكمية, that means the حكم or the ruling on it, consider it as example, the things حدث. If a person as example bears gas, okay, this something breaks the wudu. This is something you may call it that break your impurity, but is not something that physically or mentally, but is something that the hukm or the ruling of it that impure or a break in your wudu. Okay, so this what is this chapter is talking about. Okay, the tahara, the purification, to purify oneself, it have means in Islam. How many of you taken an abiyat? Okay, it's time to wake up. I'm going to try to ease a little bit, alright? And there is means and ways to purify and to cleanse oneself or things that need to be purified. Okay, like what? As example, sometimes we use what? Water to clean or to purify ourselves. There's other things that you can use, like who can say, and you get and you pay a dollar. Okay, both of you almost right, and both of you pay a dollar for the imam now. Sand or a dirt or whatever you call it, because we use it for purifications or as a substitute from the water when you want to make tayammum. Alright? So, this is also one of the means to purify ourselves. What else? If you know you pay $2. Yes, Sister Fathia? Stones? You're almost right, and you pay $3. Okay? Because all the things, sand, dirt, stones, all the things which is the earth or the surface of the earth, all the things we can use it for tayammum. Okay? Except if she means by using stones to clean oneself after the bathroom. Okay? Alright? This is also acceptable. And you pay $3 for this. Inshallah, we make a big collection tonight. What else can be a means of purification?
Ice.
Ice? Okay, I think I'm the one who have to give you a dollar this time. Alright, let me tell you about other means. Because we're talking about purifying what? Ourselves, or purifying what? Things. Okay? So, what other means of purification? You see, if jihad is not late, I will let him give the answer, but he have to make his salah first. So you have to give me the answer. What else? Becoming a Muslim? Okay, repentance. But we're talking now about, we already talked about the meaning of tahara, but now we're going to deal with physical tahara and physical cleanliness and physical purification. Okay, this is true. Tahara, you clean yourself by repentance, by accepting Islam, this is true, this is right. But we're talking about things now for preparing for salah, for things to use for salah. Okay, as example, I make it a little bit closer to you. If my prayer rug, okay, my son pee on my prayer rug, and now I want to use it, how I'm going to clean it, how I'm going to purify it? You see? This is what I'm talking about. What about if the ground itself is impure? Do I have to dig the ground? Do I pour water in it? If pouring the water going to clean the ground, so we already talk about water, and we already talk about tayammum as a means of purification. So what other means can be used?
Salt?
The sun, you're getting close little bit. The what?
Fire.
Fire? The fire will burn the thing, is not exist anymore. So what are you doing? If I put my prayer rug in the fire, is nothing going to... The amount of times, so you use the times, so it's still using the water. This is the same answer. We need something different from dirt and water. Orange juice, alhamdulillah. Somebody need to take a nap. What are you talking about, orange juice, brother? We have fiqh class now. This is good. Oh, you what? You try to wake them up? This is good. The brother said orange juice. Okay. What about if, I give you example, and I'm try to show you that there is other means. If somebody have a wet dream, and later on, two days later, he saw something dry in his clothes, and he acknowledged that this is a semen. How is he going to provide it? Huh? You close enough. You do what?
Rub it? Wipe it.
Wash it?
No,
you don't need to wash it. Only you wash it if it's still wet. But if it's dry already, all what you need to rub it like this, or what you call this in English, this is not rubbing exactly.
But that's what he said,
scrape it.
No, scrape it is taking something, but this is not.
Scrub it.
Okay, well, scrub. Okay. We call it in Arabic fark, because it seems that English is not going to be equivalent. Fark, okay? Take it like this and do it like this. This it. So this is another means of purification. Okay? Alright. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us that when come one of you come to the masjid, let him look to what? Anybody remember? To his shoes. And if something impure in it, what to do? Somebody said it there.
Rub it
in the ground. Okay? So the rubbing in the ground, okay, is a means of purification for your shoes. There is something else. And $5. $5 for the answer.
$5 won't give the
food. Wait, you see? Okay. All right, I take my chance. $5, we split it. I pay $2, and the assistant imam pay $2, and Abu Bakr pay $1. What other means of purification for things? Change your clothes? The clothes is still impure or dirty. It didn't solve the problem. Huh? I'm soliciting the answer now, so I can wake you up. Okay. Taharat al-batin? Kif tahar al-batin? She's talking again about the same answer that Abdul Ahad and somebody else said. Purification by making tawbah or became a Muslim. Talking about physical things, because I'm not going to say it because you will know the answer. We have things that we use. How we can provide things. We talk about how to purify the body, how to purify clothes, how to purify shoes. Yes, Sister Fathia. I don't know about this one. A big guess? Okay, well, what about if each one of you give me $1, not $5, and I give you the answer? Yes, things.
Okay.
Because the purification is going to be for me or for things? For me as my body, by making wudu, making ghusl, I'm using the water. Or I'm making tayammum, is it? Or I'm purifying what's on me, or what's I'm on it. This is what I need to purify. I'm going to purify my body, purify my clothes, purify where I'm praying.
Yeah.
Alright? So now I know from my body, if I don't have wudu, I make wudu.
Yeah.
With what? Purify with water. If I don't have water, make tayammum. Now we know this already. Okay, we said if my shoes is impure, I step someplace which is impure, I said before I come, I can do what? Rub it in the ground.
Yeah.
Alright. Hamza gave a similar answer. Take your clothes off and put another clothes. He didn't do anything. The clothes is still impure. Okay. I know it seems that nobody wants to give me the... Alaykum as-salam. So, now the answer will be al-dibagh. Al-dabgh. What is dabgh? Do you know the goat, the sheep, the animal skin? You don't see people having prayer rug out of these things?
Oh, tanning.
It was too far for you to think about this one. Okay? So there is different means and ways of purifying oneself or things. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay? And let's get a little bit inside deeper to the subject now, and we're going to start with the most famous way of cleaning and purify things and oneself, which is al-ma. Okay, before this, if you don't remember, now we try to cap these things again, say purification for oneself or for other things can be done by water, by tanning, by using the dust or the earth, by rubbing, by al-farq, and other means, inshallah, which we talk more in details. We talk about the most famous way of purification, which al-water, which is al-ma', and al-ma' is plural of it. This is what you was asking me, what is the class is about. I said al-miyah. Okay? Not al-niyah, al-miyah. This is what I was talking about, al-miyah. Al-miyah is a plural, okay? And the single is al-ma'. And is no need for going in too much details about definition for al-ma', because I'm sure everybody know what is ma'. And if anybody doesn't know it, you tell me that you don't, and I'll show you what is ma'. Okay? We divide the water, al-ma', to two subjects, or two categories. Water in its nature, the natural water, okay, what is known to us as a water. What is the condition or what is the ruling about water, okay? We have tahur and we have tahir. Or we have tahur and najis. We have pure water, we have impure water, alright? We have a water that can be used, and water could not be used. Water which is clean can be used, but could not be for purpose of purification. And it's still under the same section. And you have other water that you could not use it because it's not pure. And we're going to explain. Okay? Now, the water that we call natural water. Water is tahur, that it has the nature of a water as you know the water. And this water is tahir fi nafsi, mutahir la ghayro. That pure in itself and has the ability to purify others or things. Okay? So the water itself is pure, and the ability that this water will give the purity or the condition of purity to whatever been used. Regardless if you use it in yourself, by taking ghusl or wudu, or that you apply it to your clothes or to the ground or whatever, will give it this ruling. So now instead was this prayer rug was impure, now I wash it, so now the water made it what? Made it pure in ruling. The ruling of it now that is pure, okay? Under this section, this natural water, comes the following categories. Number one, water of rain, the ice water, that means if you have ice, big block of ice, I don't know if anybody sees the ice like this here or no, you see these ice cubes here, okay, But in our country we have the eyes almost like as big as one of you, okay? Okay, about what? About 3 feet height and about almost like 1 foot, okay? So let's take one loh, okay? Which is عيب لما تقول لواحد انت لوح, okay? This is not good, but this you take loh of thalj and put it and leave it until it melt, okay? So this water, what is the condition of it? Okay, this is also called what? Ice water. And barad, snow. You see, if you go to Detroit as example, or Canada, and after this snow melt, and you see this water running now, what is the condition of this water, okay? So all this are natural water. Also the water of, let's stick with this first, okay? This is three categories, comes under the tahur, okay? The clean, pure water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating in Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 11, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Okay, Surah Al-Furqan first. Excuse me, Surah Al-Furqan. Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 48. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. That we send down from the sky pure water. Okay, tahura. And he said in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 11, وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِرَكُمْ بِهِ. That Allah send down from the sky water to purify you with it. Okay? You may, if Surah Al-Furqan, Surah number 48, if I'm not mistaken, 25, verse number 48, thank you, that Allah telling us about the water that coming from the sky is what? Tahura, for purification. So this is the way how we got to know that the water, the rain water, is a natural water, has the ability to purify us and purify other things that we apply to. Okay? Okay. Now, how we got to know about the ice water and the snow to be also means of purification, and this water is natural and clean and pure. We understand this from hadith of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that kana an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha kabbara fi salah sakata hunayha قبل القراءة فقلت يا رسول الله بأبي أنت وأمي أرأيت سكوتك بين التكبير والقراءة ما تقول قال اللهم باعد بيني وبين خطاياي كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم نقني من خطاياي كما نقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم اغسلني من خطاياي بالثلج والماء والبرد. Do you still remember this, حبيب? What?
I remember it, but I couldn't say it, but I know what you're saying.
All right. Sister Zainab, do you remember this? I give you this hadith, 15, Nearview or Atlantic Avenue?
Atlantic Avenue.
Okay. So, maybe you go and look for your notebook 20 years ago and
find it. I know it, but I can't.
Okay. It's time now to try to refresh all this, okay? So, hadith Abu Huraira reported that Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to make takbir, enter the salah, say Allahu Akbar, he used to be quiet, remain silent for a while before he recites the Quran. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, may you be saved with my mother and my father. And this shows you the love of the companions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will give anything for the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That may be that I sacrifice my father, my mother for you. Okay? What do you say? Why do you remain silent after you say Allahu Akbar? Because the Sahaba used to be concerned about every movement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
want to know what is going on. Okay? So Abu Huraira, he noticed that the Prophet ﷺ, he do what? He remained silent. Okay?